Hello and welcome to this particular program, which is Your Rights program, right here on Radio Miraya, the Voice of Peace. It's a quarter past 9 a.m. and today we want to look at the rights of women, and the topic is promotion and protection of rights of women on elections in South Sudan. As we all know, there is hope for elections to take place in December this year, and so this, as many look forward to this, we want to understand if indeed women and their rights are actually being promoted and protected as we gear towards elections in South Sudan. And so our guests in the studio, we have the Executive Director, Center for Inclusion, Governance and Peace and Justice. This is Jacqueline Nasiwa. Good morning, Jacqueline, and welcome to Radio Miraya.
Good morning, Kiden, and good morning, Miraya listeners.
Yes, thank you very much for coming, Jacqueline. And we also have Honorable Nuna Roda Ndefu, member of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly. You're very welcome, Honorable Nuna.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you both for coming during this particular show as we speak on the rights of women. But first, just to know a little bit more about you and your work, starting with you, Jacqueline, why have you delved into working in governance and peace and justice issues? What exactly do you do and why? What inspired you to work in that specific area?
Thank you very much, Lulu. What inspired me to be working on justice and peace is the long history of myself when I was growing up as a young person. I think I'm one of the many children who grew up during the conflict. And we have seen the horrors that conflict bring in the issues around protection of women and girls. And as a young girl, having experienced the bitterness of the conflict and also the need for justice and protection of older people, but particularly women and girls, this has given me the passion to be working on issues of peace and justice. And also peace and justice, they go concurrently. So you can't have peace without justice, and you cannot sustain that peace when impunity is not ended. So this has made me really to be passionate working on these issues.
All right, thank you, Jacqueline, for sharing that about your motivation to work in this specific area. Honorable Nuna, what about you? How did you become a member of parliament? What inspired you to actually join the Legislative Assembly?
Thank you very much. So what inspired me is as a young person, I decide to go to be a voice of voiceless of my community. I believe it is good, let me be there to represent them and to talk about the challenges that they face. So I also feel motivated to see the other women in political positions, so it inspires me also to join politics and to be in parliament.
Okay. What constituency do you represent?
I represent Nzara County.
Nzara County. How long have you been a member of the National Legislative Assembly?
I joined in 2020.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. And just before we delve into the topic, the questions that I have prepared, let me just ask you, in your different work experiences, you work in an inclusive space. We have men and women. Do you feel that this need for promotion and protection of the rights of women, do you feel like there is a need or it's actually okay? From your experience, and please speak openly, starting with you, Honorable Nuna.
Thank you very much. There is a great need to protect women in politics, to protect them and even to promote them. Because the few women who are in politics now, they face a lot of challenges. they face a lot of challenges from men, and also as a woman, they are overlooking at a women participation. So it need protection, and it need promotion, and it need awareness.
Protection, promotion, and awareness. Yes. And Jacqueline, what can you add to this?
I would say that women have progressively advanced the women's rights and gender equality, and we have made some gains in terms of some men understanding also women's rights and being also behind women to promote for their rights. But still we have a lot that needs to be done, as Honorable Nona said. Most often when we bring up the debate of gender equality or promoting women in public and political spaces, it ends up a debate. And this debate is often like, why are women demanding for a lot? And why women want even more when we have given them the 35%.
When they have been given.
When they have been given.
So it is not a right.
And also like it's not even fulfilled. And some of them may think, oh, women are not there. That's why even we cannot fulfill the 35%. So it becomes a long debate. But I will say that there's a lot to be done. And as we are also approaching the transition to democracy, these challenges are going to be increasing. And that means that women and men have to work together to close the gender gap. And
okay.
This means that we have to deliberately create awareness among even men and policymakers. But we also have to take drastic measures to ensure that these laws that are drafted are implemented.
Okay. Thank you for stating that. And you mentioned the 35%. Coming from that, the 35% affirmative action, and does the electoral body, and here we're talking about NEC, in place, do they have mechanisms to ensure the effective participation of women, and how will this, the way the electoral body has been formed, how will it affect the participation of women?
I think the Electoral Act talks about the affirmative action and 35% representation of women. Specifically, it's saying in the formation of this act and in the process towards election, there will be gender representation. And the affirmative action is streamlined in this act. The challenge here is that maybe first we need to look at the institution itself.
Yes.
The National Electoral Commission. There are 9 commissioners, and in these 9 commissioners, we only have 2 women, and that does not reflect the 35% affirmative action. The top decision-making, also the chair and probably the deputy and the secretary general, it's not reflective of gender. And I think this required the National Electoral Commission to come with, I could say, a policy towards engendering the electoral process and mainstreaming gender in its decision in the process and also during elections. And that means that probably some of the positions and committees, and these committees include the high committees which will be formed at the state level, and also even the polling officers that will be appointed, they have to really take seriously the issue of gender representation in this process. Women are voters, and women are also going to be candidates. And the Electoral Act is clear in terms of the women's representation. It's saying there will be a women's party list. Women will come from their political parties. And later on, we will need to look at the political parties. How gender sensitive are they in terms of ensuring that this women's party list is respected by the parties? Lulu, if we go back to the R-axis power sharing ratio, we'll find that the 35% affirmative action for women is coming from these political parties who are signatories to the peace agreement. And largely these parties, they have not even met in all structures the 35%.
Mm-hmm.
Probably few in parliament have met, the national parliament only have met the 35%. But largely women's representation is around 31% in the national parliament, and in the state parliament it's around 26 at average. So that means that when we are going to be going for elections, with the challenges that women have in the community stemming from cultural biases, structural discriminations and lack of awareness on these women's rights issues, and then we are likely to face a challenge when women would be participating in these processes.
All right. And Honorable Nuna, why do you think that the laws are in place but they are not being effectively implemented in regards to the 35%?
Yes, so the law, we passed the law, and the law need to be implemented by the citizen. But the law is not being implemented. Implemented has, it has been passed from parliament. So this one, it need an action for it, because if the law is passed, let it be implemented. As my colleague said, Jacqueline, in parliament it has the 35% of women is complete there, because even from the hierarchy, the speaker is a woman. And her herself, she makes sure that all the names that are coming from different parties, let it be a gender balance, let women be there. So in parliament, we pass the law and we make sure that we implemented what we pass. But
so, what in other institutions now? Because then for parliament, there's at least a representation. But what about the other institutions? Like, for example, in NEC, there's an electoral act that has the laws in place that actually the laws are there to protect and promote women participation. But then two female representation. Why do you think it's not happening? Who is not doing their part?
The men are not complying. Yes, they are not comply, because it's supposed to be balanced. Should not be only two women there. It should be at least four or five women, so that we could say it has balanced. That's why we are saying women are going a lot. There's a lot of challenges that women go through. This one is the first challenge. Because if they say 35% and the men are not complying with it, so it means they are not
well represented.
Well represented. Women are not well represented. Yeah, there is challenge.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Nuna. And what should be done, Jacqueline? You're out there with the organization calling for inclusive governance, and this should definitely embrace the 35%. Now, especially with the electoral policies and the electoral bodies, what can be done to ensure that the 35% representation is adhered to?
I think we should borrow also from other contexts on how they are able to enforce the affirmative action. And I think one important thing is the political will to ensure that actions by decision makers is gender sensitive. And I think I could say is that the final appointing authorities have the key to women's emancipation in this country. and their deliberate action to ensure that they are able to enforce their quota is very important. And I think one example Nona gave is in the parliament, where the speaker herself ensures that she makes a checklist of the candidates that will be brought, and to ensure that women are also in that list.
Exactly.
So this is a good example of a political will that our male counterparts in decision-making institutions should be able to enforce. The other one is in terms of the legal framework. You know, when the law is clear on how women can be represented, and then it becomes easier. Like, we also have our constitution that is talking about women's equal rights to public life and all this. But our constitution is also contradictory by saying we have to adopt our customs and traditions as sources of law. And, you know, our tradition is mostly geared towards the patriarchal society, where men make decisions, even including in the society. And this has affected the participation of women, because we have women who are facing challenge. You are married to another community, and that in that sense, you belong to that community. You can no longer stand in the community where you are born. Or sometimes, you are born in the community, but they will prefer their sons to go and represent them. And these are cultural biasness, and we have them in our constitution.
Okay.
The third one is that we don't have an enforcement mechanism. So if a party or decisions of the executive, I could say for this case, in terms of appointing, or the political parties in terms of their nomination, missed out the gender quota, there are no penalties to that. In other contexts, we have seen that they have penalties. So maybe if you have not respected the quota, they will have a language to it that says maybe your party will not be registered, or you will not be able to benefit from the funding that the Electoral Commission will give, or there will be judicial processes that will penalize you for not respecting the quota. So oversight is very important, and also having enforcement mechanism for this affirmative action is important.
All right. And so you play different roles in your different institutions. We have Anuna here in Parliament, and you in an organization that promotes inclusive governance. So let's start with you, Nuna. How are you in your work? How are you ensuring promotion and protection of women's rights? What are you doing specifically?
Yes, so we have committees there, virus committee for all for MPs, the women's rights, and there are all type of committees are in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So we protect women's rights is like, example is the current formation of committees. There are position for women, but men are fighting to grab.
To take them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we will stand as women, and we say this is for women.
Mm.
It cannot be taken by a man. So here we protect the position, and the woman will take that position. As I told you also from the beginning, that the positions in Parliament are being controlled. Also, the speaker should know women are equally here. Women have secured their position. So if they bring all the list of a man, she will have a caution. Why? And return the list even back, that there is no gender. Women are not enough.
So, and in this case, the speaker is a woman.
Yes.
Now, what roles are you playing to ensure that the men are also on board with the 35 affirmative action? You earlier talked about need for awareness. How is that happening in Parliament?
We go for training. We go for training, and we give awareness. There are some organizations giving invitation to MPs, and they go for training on how to protect women's seat.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we go also together with the men in parliament for the training, and they listen. Sometimes they only call women, and sometimes we go both and
together
for training how to protect women, a women's position, and even how men can support women to be in a high decision or decision making in government offices.
All right, thank you. We've been speaking about the 35% affirmative action and how it's very key to ensure the protection of women's rights, as well as protection of women participation in elections, in political offices. And with me in the studio is Jacqueline Asiwa, Executive Director, Center for Inclusion, Governance, Peace and Justice. And we also have Honorable Nuna Rodandefu, member of Transitional Legislative Assembly, representing Zara County. After the break, we will have more. We'll try to look at, is the rest of the country aware of their rights in terms of participation in political groups, participation in arms of the government, but also do they know their rights to the electoral processes? And so we'll be looking at that and also seeing how this right can be protected and promoted in terms of participation in the election. Stay tuned.
Clean and safe environment. Protect our forests, protect our water sources, protect our air from pollution, take care of our motherland South Sudan, so our motherland can take care of us all. We, the children of South Sudan, want a protected South Sudan.
The land of freedom, full of all the fruits, my homeland. The land of liberty, full of honey, my homeland.
Broadcasting from the heart of the nation's capital, this is Radio Miraya. 101 and 101.5 FM. Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Welcome back. It is now 20 minutes to the top of the hour, which is 10 a.m. right now. This is Your Rights program. My name is Lucy Kiden, and as I take you through the show today, the topic for the day is promotion and protection of rights of women on elections in South Sudan. I have guests, Executive Director, Center for Inclusion, Governance, Peace and Justice, Jacqueline Nasiwa, and Honorable Nuna Roda, who is a member of the Transition National Legislative Assembly, representing Zara. And so we talked about the need to ensure the implementation of the 35% in government positions. This is one of the ways to promote and protect rights of women on elections, and that means that this 35% affirmative action should also be enforced in the different electoral bodies that have been put in place to ensure elections happens effectively in the country, as directed by the Revitalized Peace Agreement. And now, something we understood as Jacqueline and Honorable Nuna spoke is that there's a great need to protect, promote and create awareness on women participation. And we understood that the National Elections Commission, out of nine executive positions, we have only two women. And so this does not amount to the 35% quota that is actually set aside for women. And then Jacqueline was able to say that the Electoral Act actually has laws in place that that promote and is there to, you know, to follow in terms of women participations. We understood that Parliament is doing a great job trying to ensure that 35 women actually make up the 35%, and one of the ways is her, the Speaker, being in an executive position and a woman. She ensures that this happens. When the list is sent to her, she looks at the balance and how women are being represented, and where there are positions for women, she ensures that a woman takes up that position. And Honorable Nuna actually mentioned that there are men who are fighting for those positions, which is very, very interesting. But let's try and understand a little bit about the grassroots levels, the women out of these positions. Do they know their rights? Do they know that they too can be part of a political party? Do they know that they can contest for a position? Do they know that they have a right to vote for whoever they feel can be able to effectively serve in the positions that are available, you know, during elections? Well, you can send in a text message, or later on I'll be opening the lines for you to ask any questions to our guests. The numbers are 0912-177-141. You can send in your message with your question or comment, or you can call in later on 0929-686297 or 0912-062950 or 0912-062079. So back to our guests, Jacqueline and Honorable Nuna. Let's talk about the public, the women who are not actively part of the different political parties, the different electoral bodies in place, the different government institutions. Can you briefly speak from your observation and engagement with these women? Are they aware of their rights to participate effectively during elections? Jacqueline?
Are they aware of their effective participation in elections? I'll say that not all women know that they have the right to participate in elections. And this is where creating awareness around the electoral processes becomes very important. And that means that we have to do grassroots dialogues, of which the Center for Inclusive Governance, Peace and Justice is already doing. And I think many other civil society colleagues are also doing. We create awareness through campaigns. Like, we have campaigns called the Know Your Rights campaign. And this Know Your Rights campaign, we do it with the support of our partners like the Government of Canada. And then we also have the When Women Rise campaign, supported by the Netherlands. So different activities that we do in terms of mobilizing women to know their rights. And our approach is that women's rights are human rights. But we cannot be able to reach to all the grassroots level. So we use platforms like Miraya, we use other platforms like maybe the iRadio and other private radio stations to create this awareness. But I'll say that there's a lot that needs to be done at the grassroots. And if we are talking about elections, what is election to the ordinary person in the village, in the communities, in the Bomas? What is their role in terms of participating in these elections? I think most people at the grassroots do not know that even they have the right to participate in these peace agreement mechanisms. So there's the thinking that this peace agreement is about political power sharing, which I don't blame them for, because this peace agreement is based on power sharing by politicians.
Yes.
But when we are talking about elections, it's about the people, giving people the power to be able to elect their leaders and to hold them accountable. And this is a challenge to us as civil society and also as legislators on how we can be able to create this awareness to the communities and to the grassroots women so that they can be able to participate in elections. And by the way, women are more than half maybe of the population, and it's our challenge that we need to have these women become more informed to make decisions during elections.
Okay. Honorable Nuna, one of the key ways, I believe, is to be an example, right? And here you are, you're a member of parliament, you are a woman, you are doing your job. How can other women in your position also be able to create not just awareness, but also encourage these other women who are out there, qualified women, to be part and parcel of political processes in the country?
Yes, that is a major thing, as my colleague said, that women are many. So what exactly make women not to participate in politics is fear. Fear is a barrier. So
what are they afraid of?
You know, politics, even politics, you know, yes. Even politics is not something easy. Mm-hmm. It is a determination.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, if you don't join party, you will not be in a already to stand for election or to be in as a politician. So we have very many parties in South Sudan that women, young women, could determine and join so that they can be able to be in decision-making or to stand for the election. So we are here to encourage them, let them join parties. And when I visited my place, I talked to them, to young women, even young men, join parties so that you can be able to exercise the talent that you have. So minus joining party, it cannot be easy. So that's why we also need awareness to them at the grassroots, to explain to them that they should join parties so that they can be able to raise their voice and to be in decision making.
When you talk about joining parties, are these parties sensitized as well? Do the party leaders, are they willing to actually bring in these women into their parties in leadership positions?
That is a very nice question. So in my party, that's where I came from, the chance is for women. And my leader is encouraging women, young people. So my party is really promoting women.
Can I ask which party this is?
Oh, my God, yes.
Please go ahead.
That is SPLM-IU.
Okay.
Yes.
And so with your experience, there is a lot of encouragement for women to join the party, and they are put in leadership positions.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for stating that and explaining. And encouraging women to join parties, that is the way you can be part of politics in South Sudan. It's the only way. So make sure you join a party. Now, call in if you have a question. This is the time to do that. Or you can send a text message on 0912-177-141. You can go ahead and call on 0929-686297 or 0912-062950 or 0912-062079. We're talking about promotion and protection of women's rights on elections in South Sudan. As we gear up towards elections, if you're a woman, do you know that you have a right to participate both politically but also as a voter during the time of elections? Yes, let's hear from our first caller, Radio Miraya.
Yes, hello, Miraya, sir.
Yes, hello. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Call me Samuel Abridge, calling from Lagos State.
Your name again?
Samuel Abridge, calling from Lagos State.
Okay, Samuel, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, thank you very much for the guest in this video. And I'm also appreciating the program that you have initiated. You know, I'm very happy when I heard the women are in the politics. You know, the women are the backbone of the nation. And what they are really doing, the politics that they are doing in the government of South Sudan, is the real politics. It is the politics that is set, and we are likely to protect them from the politics.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted them to join our hand together with them.
Okay.
And we wanted to promote the percentage.
You want to promote the percentage?
Yeah.
The 35%?
The 35%.
Okay. What's your question?
What's the role?
What is your question?
My question to them is are the women in the politics, what is your role to talk with the other women which are not even joined the politics, and also to aware them the goodness of the politics in the national government?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That there is Samuel from Lakes Estate. Go ahead and call in right now. There's room for two more callers, and you can call on the line. It's very open. Yes. Radio Mira, hello. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, could you please speak louder?
What?
Could you raise your voice? Zidu Sot.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What's your name?
My name is Simon Yalmoti.
Yes, Simon. What is your question?
So my question is, how we will go for election while the civil society are suffering like this?
Okay. How are the civil society suffering?
The civil society are suffering about they were facing, but no hospital for treatment. But if you go to hospital, you will get medicine are not there, and then they will prescribe a drug for you to buy in the clinic.
Mm.
So the civil society are very suffering in South Sudan.
Okay.
Many people are dying because of malaria. That is my question.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your question. We have room for one more caller. You can call in and ask a question as we talk about promotion and protection of the rights of women on elections in South Sudan. Yes, hello.
Hello, Muradu. Sabah al-Khair.
Sabah al-Nur. Maimunu. Udari Minwen.
Mark John Minwau.
John Minwau. Ahas Walta Kishinu.
Ana Kuta Gani Samel Ibarram Lisa. حسيت المرأة في السياسة وكذا. مرأة ممكن يكون يعمل أي حاجة مع نفسه. ممكن الراجل أو مرأة لسه ممكن يقدم. ما في حاجة تفرق بين المرأة والراجل. مرأة ممكن يكون رئيس, مرأة ممكن يكون وزير, مرأة ممكن يعمل أي
حاجة. يا جون أرفع صوت شوية فوقك.
أنا قلت مرة ممكن يعمل أي حاجة. مرة ممكن يكون وزير, مرة ممكن يكون رئيس, مرة ممكن يكون سواق طيارة, يكون سواق قطر.
أيوة.
ما أي حاجة. مرة ما يفرز بين دي مرة أو دي راجل. مرة ما أعمل أي حاجة. مرة بكون سياسي, مرة بكون أي حاجة. ما يفرز بين مرة أو راجل.
عندك سؤال؟
سؤال بتاعي. أيوة سؤال بتاعي. أسفي الناس تحصل لمرحلة بتاعت الانتخابات وكله الجنس يعني في الانتخابات ده. فدارين نشوف دور بتاعت مرة انتخابات الجارة اللي ماشي 2024 ما هيمشوا, هيكشوا في الناي في التسويق ولا ما هيكشوا في الأحزاب دي.
Okay, كلا شكرا. Thank you very much, John there. So we have John, Simon, and then we had Samuel as well. And all of them, their questions are related to elections. I want us to start with Simon's question. We don't have much time left. We're about 3 minutes. And Simon is asking, how can we hold elections, yet the civil the civil population is suffering. You have the issue of services in health. There are no good services around the country in terms of health. So how are we gearing, looking towards the election, yet this is ongoing? One of you just answer that in 1 minute. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very pleased with his question. And it is true that people are suffering. We should first organize our home. We should first make people to be well. As you can see, the situation now in South Sudan is not friendly. In fact, I visit hospital. People are suffering. There is no treatment. There is nothing there. From national to state level.
Yes, yes.
The hospitals are down. So even the school for government, they are down, but only the private school are the one working.
So why is it that with this situation, why should the country still go for elections?
We are not sure. We are not sure of it, because the implementation of election, for election to take place even, is not completed.
Mm-hmm.
This the talk of election, but it's not really 100%.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Jacqueline, you have something to say.
Yeah, I think I would say that, service delivery is at minimum or non-existing in some of the communities, and the civil population is suffering. Elections offer an opportunity for the civil population to choose the leaders who can be answerable and responsive to their needs.
Okay.
The citizens can now know who is a good leader for them, who can deliver services to them. What are their priorities? It could be health, it could be education, it could be roads, it could be even their own employment issues. And at this time of elections, politicians will come with their manifestos.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that their manifestos should reflect on the needs and priorities of the citizens.
Of the citizens.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jacqueline. And as we conclude now this discussion, I want to touch on John's question. He said women can be anything. Do you see women actually stepping up to stand in some of these positions?
Yes, we have women who are already in the parties, but also we have women who are not in the parties, but they can stand as independent candidates.
Okay.
And women are ready to stand. What is generally lacking for the whole electoral process is this opening of the civic and political space so that women can be able to participate in a conducive environment for
elections.
So
this means even if you're not part of a party, you can stand as an independent candidate.
Yes, you can stand as an independent candidate.
And thank you very much. Now I'm just going to give you 15 seconds each to share a final remark with the citizens, starting with you, Honorable Nuna. 15 seconds.
Yeah.
One word.
Thank you very much. So I'm greeting the lovely people outside there and telling them if there is election, let them be ready, let them prepare. It's better to get prepared than let it come to catch you before you get prepared.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline.
I think I will add that as we gear towards elections, we need to be preparing for peaceful elections.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming, and this has brought us to the end of the show. Thank you for coming, ladies. Okay.